At 6 p.m., I'll call the meeting of the Plan Commission to order. Ask the clerk to please read the roll.
Thomas Turwall.
Here.
Michael Serpy.
Here.
Wayne Kessel.
Here.
Deb Scarta.
Here.
Jim Bandura.
Here.
Judy Giuliana.
Here.
Bill Stobig.
Here.
John Skalbeck is excused. Brock Williamson.
Here.
We'll head then to item three, consider the minutes of the March 27th Plan Commission meeting. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve.
Second.
Then move and second to approve the minutes of the March 27th Plan Commission meeting as presented in written form. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Correspondence, Jean?
I have none this evening.
Citizens' comments. If you're here for items A through C, which are matters for public hearing, we would ask that you hold your comments until a public hearing is held so we can incorporate them into as a part of the official record. However, if you want to raise an issue that's not a public hearing, that would be your opportunity to do so. We'd ask you to begin by coming to the microphone and giving us your name and address. Anybody wishing to speak on a citizen's comments? Seeing none, we'll move ahead then to item A, new business. Public hearing consideration of preliminary plats. Jean?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission in the audience, item A is the public hearing and consideration of a preliminary plat for the request of Daniel Schopp, agent on behalf of Bayer Development, for the vacant properties generally located west of 94th Avenue and 97th Court between Prairie Ridge Boulevard and County Trunk Highway C or Wilmot Road in the Prairie Ridge Development. They are requesting to develop 45 single-family lots to be known as the Arbor Ridge Subdivision. And again, I apologize. Our screens behind you on either side are not working for the audience. We have one screen here if anyone can see it. Other than that, I'll try to explain in detail the projects. The petitioner, again, is requesting approval of a preliminary plat to develop 45 single-family lots to be known as Arbor Ridge, generally located on the south of Prairie Ridge Boulevard, west of 97th Court and 94th Avenue, and north of Highway C, and east of the existing Prairie Ridge single-family subdivision. The properties are further identified as tax parcel numbers 914-122-082-0490 and 914-122-082-0501 through 914-122-084-0530. This area was platted and private roadways were constructed with the gravel base only, and public sewer, water, and storm sewer improvements were installed in 2006. Due to the recession in the late 2000s, this area did not develop as a planned condominium. The petitioner is proposing to vacate the condominium plat and replat the properties with public roadways and work with as much of the existing public infrastructure as possible to create a single-family lot subdivision. The petitioner is proposing then to downzone the land from the multifamily zoning district to the single-family zoning district and create 45 single-family lots. On December 5, 2016, the Village Board approved an amendment to the Prairie Ridge Neighborhood Plan, Ordinance 16-43, for this development. The Prairie Ridge Neighborhood Plan was originally adopted in 2004. It indicated that this 26.7 acres of land be developed with 98 condominium units, which had consisted, identified at that time, of 15 two-unit buildings, 5 four-unit buildings, and 8 six-unit buildings. The amendment proposes to allow for the development of the properties with single-family lots instead. This change represents a decrease of 52 residential units. And again, based on the last staff comments, they're proposing 45 single-family lots rather than 46, as was previously indicated on the conceptual plan. On December 19, 2016, the board had approved a conceptual plan to create the 46 lots. The interior roadways, 98th Circle and Ridgeway Court, were proposed to remain private roadways to be installed and maintained by the Harbor Ridge Homeowners Association, similar to if this would be developed as condominiums. However, after further discussion with the village staff, the developer has decided to construct all of the roads as public roadways pursuant to the village's current specifications. Therefore, the water and sanitary sewer mains and storm sewer mains would be located within public roadways, and any easements will be public and maintained by the village. In addition, upon more detailed engineering, the development again now reflects 45 lots instead of 46. So with respect to the preliminary plat document, the residential development, Arbor Ridge single-family development, consists of approximately 27 acres to be developed with 45 single-family lots and three outlots. The single-family lots range in size from 10,004 square feet to 24,392 square feet per lot, with the average lot size of 15,287 square feet. Pursuant to the Land Division Ordinance, all lots shall have a depth of at least 125 feet. The petitioner is requesting, and a public hearing is being held by the board on April 17th of this year. They are requesting a variance from Section 395-63F of the Land Division and Development Control Ordinance related to the minimum lot depth, as the, based on, again, this was previously laid out for condominiums. In order to work this into a single-family development, there are some areas where the lot depths are just not going to be that 125 feet in depth. So there'll be six of them that they're requesting a variance for. Population projections for this proposed development based on the 2010 census information for Pleasant Prairie, with the average number of persons per household being 2.71 and school-aged children between the ages of 5 and 19, making up 22.6% of the population. Based on their 45 lots, it's projected that 122 persons will be added to the population upon its full build-out. Pursuant to the information provided by the Kenosha Unified School District for Pleasant Prairie, there's a calculation of 0.42 times the number of dwelling units, or approximately 19 public school-aged children are likely to come from this single-family development at full build-out. With respect to the preliminary plat, there are three outlots that are not for single-family homes, but for other purposes. Outlot 1 is proposed to be dedicated through a fee interest transfer to the Arbor Ridge Homeowners Association, Inc. The outlot should be labeled as Outlot 1, dedicated by the developer to the Arbor Ridge Homeowners Association for open space and wetland preservation, protection, access, and maintenance purposes. The wetland areas shall be separately described with a legal description. There's also an easement that's going to be required over the same area of Outlot 1 that's granted to the village for the same open space, wetland preservation, protection, access, and maintenance purposes. So this Outlot 1 is located at the south-southwest corner of this subdivision adjacent to Wilmot Road. Outlot 2 is proposed to be dedicated through a fee interest transfer as common open space and a pedestrian path to the Arbor Ridge Homeowners Association, Inc. The outlot will be labeled as Outlot 2, dedicated by the developer to the Arbor Ridge Homeowners Association, and this will be for open space, pedestrian access, and maintenance purposes. There'll also be an easement over this Outlot 2 granted to the village for these same purposes, and this Outlot 2 is kind of located right in the center of the development. It's located just north of two lots in Prairie Ridge. It will extend north through this subdivision, and then eventually sidewalks will continue and take you over to 94th Avenue. Outlot 3 is proposed to be dedicated through a fee interest transfer to the Arbor Ridge Homeowners Association. Outlot 3 is for being dedicated for stormwater, drainage, retention basin, access, and maintenance purposes. So the large basin that's located the northwest side of the property that extends at least half the length of the subdivision, that's where there is an existing stormwater basin. Again, we're re-identifying it as an outlot. An easement is being granted to the village for that same stormwater drainage, retention basin, access, and maintenance purposes. The one question I do have for the developer is that since this was identified previously, we will need to confirm whether or not that transfer has already been made to a commercial owners association, or if this will be part of their association. We just need to clarify the ownership of that Outlot 3. With respect to wetlands, the wetlands within the undeveloped properties have been found in two areas of the site, one in Outlot 2, which is down at the south end, and another within proposed lots. This wetland that was identified, is in an area that was originally created as a temporary sedimentation basin as part of the development for this area, and that is just to the south of that 98th court circle area. The petitioner is seeking an artificial exemption status from the DNR on both of these wetland areas. If these exemptions are not obtained, the wetlands would need to be rezoned into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and the land use plan map would need to be amended, and lots 24 through 29 would need to be adjusted or eliminated. My understanding is that that artificial exemption status is going to be granted by the DNR for lots 24 through 29. Again, that was just a temporary basin that was created by the previous developer to handle stormwater runoff from a previous development. For public improvements, all public and private improvements shall be made by the developer at the developer's expense. All public improvements shall be constructed in accordance with the village's land division and development control ordinance and village specifications. If there's any conflicts between those two ordinances, then the village specifications that are set forth in Chapter 405 of the Municipal Code should apply. With respect to zoning map and text amendments, due to the size of the lots, the village staff is recommending that this project be developed as a planned unit development. The village staff would recommend that single-family lots be rezoned into the R4 Urban Single Family Residential District, which is the same district as Prairie Ridge next door. Any non-artificial wetlands that remain would be placed into that C1 district, and the outlots would be rezoned into the PR1 Park and Recreational Zoning District. Then the entire development would have an overlay of a planned unit development. As part of the PUD overlay, the staff would support the development, provided that an average lot size is 15,000 square feet. Further, the staff recommends that the lots be a minimum of 80 feet in lot width. Lots on a curve can be reduced, and lots be a minimum of 10,000 square feet in area. As part of the PUD and support for the lot depth variance, the village staff would support the following setbacks for the structures. Again, along 94th Avenue and 97th Court, we're recommending that there be at least a 50-foot setback to that right-of-way, except for lot 37, where a 40-foot setback would be allowed. Again, this area is still considered to be the backyards all along 97th Court and 94th, but we wanted a greater setback to make sure we didn't want any homes to be pushed back towards that. Again, at one point, this was to be a condominium, so we want to make sure that there's open space as well as those homes hugging the front street where they're going to be getting their access. There would be a 25-foot setback to the internal public roadways. However, the setback is required to be increased on lots on a curve because the minimum width of a lot needs to be 80 feet at the setback line. The same setback for single-family homes, 10 feet setback to side lot lines. And for those that don't abut a public street, a 25-foot setback to rear property lines, just as in the R4 district. Corner lots shall have three setbacks. And if you're looking at the plat, you can see that there are a couple of them that have triple frontage. So those homes will have to be selected very carefully in order to meet all the setbacks. The front street setback to the internal public roads shall be absolute and noted on the preliminary and final plats. In addition, side and rear setbacks shall not allow for any further encroachment, such as a cantilever home, bay windows, decks, steps. Right now, the zoning ordinance does allow for some exceptions and modifications, but because of the size of the homes that they're looking to put here and because of where they're placed and the size of the lots, those setbacks are going to be absolute. They're not going to be where a part of a fireplace can extend 3 or 5 feet out beyond that footprint of the home. Excuse me. So they need to take all that into account when they're planning their homes. The rear yards abutting the west will have no flat backyards, no filling. Some lots will have a 20-foot grade difference between the front and rear lot lines. Again, this is how it was graded and how it was originally because there's such grade change throughout that particular area of Arbor Ridge. No retaining walls will be permitted unless they're installed by the developer with the initial grading. So what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to have, after someone takes occupancy, someone says, well, I want a flat backyard, and I'm going to put in a retaining wall, and I'm going to, you know, fill all this in. It can't be that way. It needs to be all or nothing, and we need to make sure that it's all carefully designed. And, in fact, we're recommending that most of these homes that abut the west subdivision, that they be either lookouts, walkouts, or something that can be accommodating to that significant grade change. As part of the PUD, and due to the significant grade changes and the lot sizes, the village staff recommends that there be no above-ground fences or dog runs, underground electric fences only for dogs. There'll be no outbuildings, gazebos, sheds, pools, trampolines, swing sets, plastic storage bins, sheds outside on the lots. Again, I don't even know how that would even be possible as you're going 20 feet to 30 feet, you know, in that short distance. There would just be nowhere to put that in there. And so to avoid some very awkward situations, we've worked with them to put some restrictions in their covenants that would prohibit accessory structures like that. All decks, patios, hot tubs, they need to meet the stated setbacks, and hot tubs would be allowed if they're on a deck or some type of patio for the home. The developer shall ensure that the deed restrictions for the development are consistent with the requirements of the PUD. Further discussion may be warranted due to the sizes of the garages and if side load garages will be permitted. So really this will be on a case-by-case basis. We'll really have to be making sure that the home styles that get picked and designed and placed on these, that they really fit the topography of the particular lot. Individual access for the single-family lots are proposed to be from the internal roadway system and will need to be further reviewed for placement of the required street trees and laterals. No direct driveway access will be allowed to 94th Avenue or 97th Court. In addition, there will be no direct access to Prairie Ridge Boulevard or Wilmot Road either. Those serve as collector streets, and there will be no direct access to either of those as well. Corner lots shall have their driveway locations clearly marked on all building plan sets or plat of surveys that come in. No exceptions to the restricted access requirements for the corner lots. The lot width location of the sewer, water, and storm laterals shall be shown on the plans to ensure that all the lots have adequate access and at least one street tree is provided per lot to the internal streets. In addition, the village staff is recommending that there be a variety of pine trees or other type of permanent suitable screening, not just deciduous trees, adjacent to 97th Court and 97th Avenue within a dedicated 10-foot private landscape easement. As part of the development, the 10-foot private landscape easement shall be shown on the lots along 97th Court and 94th Avenue. If fencing is installed, it should be a continuous decorative aluminum fence of the same maximum height of 4 feet, the same style, color, and size along the lots. Again, this is intended to be a unified, planned development for single family. So we don't want a 6-foot high stockade next to a 4-foot aluminum. It just, if they're going to be allowed, it has to be the exact same, just along that 94th and 97th Street, or 94th Avenue and 97th Court. Further discussion is warranted regarding landscaping, and we will need to work with them to kind of refine that specific landscape plan. It will need to be finalized prior to the final plat being presented, so we'll need to visit with them. So the next thing that they need to look at and needs to be processed at the same time as the final plat is the plat vacation. The Arbor Ridge condominium plat will need to be vacated by approval and action of the village board. It'll come to the plan commission first. This shall be considered at the same time as the final plat. So with that, I'd like to continue the public hearing. And if there's any comments or questions, our village engineers here, I'm here, and the developers here in the audience. I'm not sure if Dan or SR would like to make any further presentation or comments with respect to this development.
Anything further? That would be your opportunity.
Can you come up to the mic, Dan?
Give us your name and address for the record.
Dan Shaw, Bear Development, 4011 80th Street, Kenosha. Nothing further to add to Gene's comments, but I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to comment? Anybody else? Gene, is there going to be sidewalks? Okay. And the six lots that are going to request a variance from the lot depths. How deep will those lots be, Gene?
I want to say the probably I don't have it exact. Gene,
you got one is 117 feet, one's 121, 116, 120, 122, 127. How often have we allowed shallower lots?
And the sanitary sewer and water storm is underneath the roadway, so we can't be moving the road where it is. And so we've allowed it occasionally. It just, in order to use that existing infrastructure, this is the maximum that we could get in this area. Again, Ridge, on those lots, a little bit smaller homes will be placed.
Ridgeway Court is not in yet, is that right?
Just the gravel base, all the underground infrastructure and the gravel base of the road.
I was going to suggest that maybe the median could be made a little bit smaller and you give some of these lots a little bit more room. But if the infrastructure is already there.
So originally they had a larger looped roadway system with a pretty large median in the center. And in order to increase the lot depths and to make sure that infrastructure was underneath the right-of-way, we eliminated that and brought it down with a cul-de-sac at the end.
Any other comments or questions?
What is this? That's an outlet.
Okay, now I'll entertain a motion.
That's Ridge Record.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we send a recommendation to a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to approve the preliminary plat subject to the comments and conditions of the April 10, 2017 Village Staff Report.
There a second?
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to approve the preliminary plat subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum in the public hearing. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So ordered. Welcome.
Thank you.
Item B, public hearing consideration of the following zoning text amendments.
I see items B and C are combined. Can we take them both at the same time and have separate motions on B and C? I would so move.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to combine items B and C for the purposes of discussion, but have separate votes on each one. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Gene, you're all set.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission and the audience, we'll be taking items B and C together. We'll be making one presentation with separate action to be taken by the Plan Commission. The first item, item B, is consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 17-11 for the following comprehensive plan amendments for the request of Matt Carey, PE, with Pinnacle Engineering Group, agent for Majestic Badger, LLC, owner of the properties located at 8801 88th Avenue, and the vacant property to the south related to the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment, Lomer F, case number 16-05-2410X. And this is for two purposes. Number one, to amend the Village 2035 Land Use Plan Map 9.9 to correct and change the park, recreation, and other open space lands and the 100-year floodplain land use designations to the general industrial land use designation on the properties to ensure that both the zoning map and the comprehensive land use plan are consistent with the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment. And secondly, to update Appendix 10-3 of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin 2035 comprehensive plan to reflect the above-noted changes to the 2035 land use plan map 9.9. And then the second item, or item C related to this matter, consideration of the following zoning text and map amendments for the request of Matt Carey, PE, with Pinnacle Engineering Group, agent for Majestic Badger, LLC, owner of the properties located at 8801 88th Avenue and the vacant property to the south, and it's related to the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment. Again, Lomer F, case number 16-05-2410X. Again, two reasons: to amend section 420.131I in parens 1 in parens small a to specifically reference the change to the official floodplain maps as approved by FEMA for the floodplain boundary adjustment on said properties, and two, to rezone the portion of the property removed from the 100-year floodplain from the FPL floodplain overlay district into the M2 general manufacturing district, and to rezone portions of the property wherein the 100-year floodplain was created into the FPO district with the underlying zoning designation to remain M2, which is manufacturing 2, and the PUD, Planned Unit Development Overlay District, will remain over the properties. On May 20th, 2013, the Village Board approved Resolution 13-11 related to the floodplain boundary adjustment to remove 98,173 cubic feet of floodplain and to create 99,144 cubic feet of floodplain to compensate for the floodplain being filled at 8801 88th Avenue and the vacant property to the south. And this was for the Majestic development. It was known as CSM 2679 and further identified as tax parcel numbers 924-122-162-0311 and 924-122-162-0312. The first building has been constructed on the north side of the property, and site grading to amend the 100-year floodplain as conditionally approved by FEMA pursuant to the C. Clomer F. has been completed. Pursuant to Resolution 1311 as amended, an as-built certification survey was completed, and FEMA's approval as shown on the final letter of map revision, case number 16052410X, was obtained, and the required application to correct and amend the comprehensive land use plan, the zoning text and map, to reflect the new amended location of the 100-year floodplain were submitted. The following amendments are proposed to the comprehensive plan. As I just mentioned, again, to amend the 2035 Land Use Plan Map 9.9 to correct and change the park, recreation, and other open space lands and the 100-year floodplain land use designations to general industrial land use designation, and to ensure that both the zoning map and comprehensive plan map are consistent with the FEMA-approved floodplain boundary adjustment. Also, to update Appendix 10.3 of the Village's 2035 Land Use Plan as it relates to Map 9.9. The following amendments are proposed to the Village zoning map and text: to amend Section 420.131I.1A to specifically reference the official change of the floodplain maps as approved by FEMA for the floodplain boundary adjustment on the properties, and two, to rezone a portion of the property that was removed from the 100-year floodplain from that FPO, floodplain overlay district, into the M2 general manufacturing district. And again, to rezone those portions wherein the 100-year floodplain was created into the FPO district. The remaining underlying designation will remain as M2. The Planned Unit Development Overlay District will remain over the entire properties. These matters are part of the public hearing, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'll open the comments and questions from the staff.
Move approval of item B.
Second. Been moved and seconded to approve item B. Subject to the terms and conditions, I'll end in a staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. And we need a motion to send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board.
So moved, Chairman.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to send a favorable recommendation to the Village Board to approve the following zoning text amendments for item C, subject to the terms and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered. Item D, Gene, consider a request of Peter Molker, agent for St. Ken's Hospital.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Plan Commission in the audience, item D is to consider the request of Peter Molker, agent for St. Catherine's Hospital, for approval of site and operational plans for building the shell for the advanced outpatient surgical wing for the United Hospital System expansion located at 9555 76th Street in Pleasant Prairie. The petitioner is requesting approval of site and operational plans for the building shell site for the advanced outpatient surgical wing for the United Hospital System expansion located at 9555 76th Street. The development is identified as tax parcel numbers 914-122-082-0117, which is the 42.39 acres south of 76th Street, and 914-122-082-0113, which is the 5.17 acres north of 76th Street. The final site and operational plans pursuant to the requirements of the village ordinance shall be submitted for review and approval prior to the issuance of building permits. What they've decided to do is present these plans and everything to us in three steps because it's such a large project. So we had a preliminary site and operational plan. We're doing the shell portion of the site and operational plan, and then final site and operational plans will be submitted for your review and approval in May. With respect to this project, there were a number of previous approvals. In 2001, site and operational plans for the development of a regional medical center campus consisting of an acute care hospital facility and medical offices were approved on a 50-acre parcel of land in Prairie Ridge. In 2008, there was a hospital expansion. And in 2010, a medical office building was added to the campus. Though not anticipated originally in 2001, the master campus conceptual plan now incorporates an addition to the hospital, primarily to house the planned advanced outpatient surgical wing for the United Hospital System on the St. Catharines campus. The Village Board on October 17, 2016, had conditionally approved the St. Catharines conceptual plan, for which we have been receiving various steps of the site and operational plan for their approval. On February 13th, the Plan Commission of 2017, the Plan Commission conditionally approved the preliminary site and operational plans for site grading, early footings and foundations, and underground utilities for the expansion. And the site has been set up, and they have been under construction working on the project. With respect to the project description, for the record, the facility expansion for the advanced outpatient surgical wing of United Hospital System is intended to be used for same-day ambulatory and outpatient surgical procedures and will have the full support and resources of the main acute care St. Catharines Hospital, which is readily available in the event a patient experiences an unexpected emergency condition. This approach for less than 24-hour surgery stays differs from that of a typical freestanding ambulatory surgery center, where due to the lack of sufficient resources, emergency events are usually addressed with a 911 call to summon an ambulance to transport a patient to a hospital or a regional medical center, such as the St. Catharines campus. For example, in the event a patient in the advanced outpatient surgical wing experiences a stroke or heart attack during his or her less than 24-hour stay, the emergency staff and support from the hospital will respond immediately and address the patient's needs, following which the patient will be then transferred to the appropriate location within the main hospital. In reality, the expansion will combine the convenience of an ambulatory surgery center with the safety of an acute care hospital setting. The addition, and we have, I think, pretty close to final numbers now, the addition is proposed to be 242,540 square feet. The addition will include a first-floor expansion that will feature an open-design lobby, lounge, cafe, a courtyard, registration, waiting areas, private preoperative suites with toilet rooms, at least 8 new surgical suites, and recovery areas. Easy access to the surgical wing will be provided via a separate entrance, which features a protected patient drop-off and pickup area to minimize exposure to the elements. In addition, easy access to the main hospital building will be available for visitors through a convenient enclosed walkway, as well as through internal corridors for staff and patients, if and when needed, to access the support services of the main hospital. This access allows for direct transfer of patients from the new surgical wing to the hospital without the need for ambulance transport. Support areas for the surgical facilities will be housed in the new lower level, along with relocating some receiving docks and trash enclosure areas and some other items. The second, third, and fourth floors of the building will ultimately house various outpatient services. Staffing for this addition will add approximately 100 to 125 employees with its full build-out. It is planned that approximately 534 full-time employees and 362 part-time employees would work from the entire St. Catharines campus facility after the project is addition is completed. The facility addition will integrate into the existing facility architecture using the same natural materials that were used on the existing building, including the brick details and the stonework. In addition, the building will use similar glass and roof lines to match up with the existing buildings. Existing internal site roads on the campus, including those for truck traffic, will be modified as a result of the addition, and additional surface parking will be provided on the site. Stormwater will be distributed into the existing stormwater management system for the Prairie Ridge development. On-site utilities such as water, sanitary sewer, and electrical services will be rerouted but contained on the site, and some of that work is under construction now. The campus will have full fire protection throughout and include new fire hydrants, fire alarm system, components, and sprinkler systems. The existing security system, including access control and exterior cameras, will be expanded from the current systems. Also, a digital security imaging system, the village's DSIS, will be incorporated into the campus, providing live camera views to the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. Both the DSIS agreement and access easement will be finalized and executed for the development as part of the final site and operational plans. Again, this will be their own private system, but it'll be linked via live view to the PD. Construction activity on the grading, underground utilities, footings, and foundation work has begun. And with this approval, they intend to obtain building permits for the building shell. The construction vehicle routes will be from Highway 50, south on H, and west on Prairie Ridge Boulevard, and north on the private west St. Catharines Ring Road into the site. It's projected that the advanced surgical wing would be completed for occupancy in 2018. So with that, Peter Moulter is here from United Hospital. If you have any questions for him, or the staff would be happy to answer any additional questions.
Welcome, Peter.
How are you doing? Peter Moulter, 5212 86 Place. I'm here to answer any questions. Gene has covered it very well. You can see from the site and operational plan, we've been consistent with how we are presenting it. As Gene said, we've tweaked a little bit with the square footages, just that's building gross square footage that gets adjusted as you finalize plans and move things a little bit here and there, but I think we're at the final number at this point. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
How many parking spaces are we adding there?
I'll get to the chart.
I can't comment on the surgical wing because I don't know anything about that stuff.
We currently have 971 spots. We'll be going up to 1,183.
How many is that adding? Adding how many?
We'd be adding, that's roughly almost 200 spots, a little bit over 200 additional spots. And if you've been out on the site, you can see that we've got gravel lots currently in place. That's where it's going to be paved once the asphalt plants open up here, which I'm being told is going to be the first week in May. So we'll be starting to work on getting those all completed. And if you look at the site from the site plan, we've expanded patient parking out at the front along 76th Street, staff and employee parking towards the Costco area, and then around towards the back, we're also cleaning that up and adding some spaces as well.
I hope it's enough. Parking's a problem out there, Pete. I think you know that.
Yeah, we've been pushing people around, and we're going to continue to do that with our security guards and security department to push folks into their correct parking spot and getting people to park on those respective areas. I think once we get it paved, yeah, it'll improve it substantially.
Okay. Anybody have any comments or questions? This is a matter of, well, it's not a matter of public hearing, but I'll take questions from staff and commissioners.
I'd move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second?
A second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the site operational plan, services, terms, and conditions outlined in the staff memorandum. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Thank you, Chair. Motion to adjourn would be in order.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We stand adjourned.